This podcast was brought to you by Pastor Brian Calstrip and Fellowship Church. For more information, visit thefellowship.church.
Hallelujah. Good to see all of you this evening. Praise God. Glad you're here. Amen. The Bible says this is the day that the Lord has made. So what are we going to do?
Rejoice.
Yeah, we're going to rejoice. Glory to God and be glad in it. Amen. Not sad. How many of you know you have a choice? Yeah, amen to that. Praise God. So anyway, good to see you. Praise God. Y'all bring a Bible with you, or maybe you got a device or something. Let's open our Bibles again to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. This is our text that we've been taking. Hallelujah. I'm sure glad you guys showed up, because if you hadn't, I'd been preaching to my wife. We've got a little lean here this evening. Hallelujah. You know, springtime, it's nice out. People go, oh boy, I got to do this, got to do that, got to do the other. I get it. Hallelujah. My wife, she had me hanging birdhouses today and cleaning them out. And man, spring has sprung. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Miss Rachel, God bless you. I'll tell you what, glory to God. How far is it from here to your house?
I don't know, 100 miles.
100?
It takes an hour and a half, 90.
90? Like I said, God bless you, Rachel Gard. Hey, man, we ought to all just give her a great big round of applause. Wednesday nights, Sundays, bringing her kids. Hallelujah. God's good, has a heart for missions. Probably go anywhere if you'd let her. Hallelujah. Amen. Thankful for that. It's great. Praise God. When did you get saved?
When I was 19, but I turned it back around about 10 years ago.
10 years ago. Yeah. And you've been attending here since then?
Yeah.
And driving all that way back and forth? Amen. You ever have an opportunity to say, I don't think I want to keep driving this far?
Yeah.
Every day. Yeah, amen. We got an Easter card this weekend from a couple, and they have a similar circumstance to Rachel in that they drive quite some distance to attend church. Many of you know them, Larry and Norma Fast, and I remember when they were first coming to our church. You know, there were no Word of Faith churches in this part of the country. You know, so if you wanted to hear the Word of Faith, then you had to show up here usually, and then other churches started popping up, but they had the same circumstance where it was quite some distance for them to have to drive, and so they're wrestling with the distance, the time it takes to get here. And Norma wrote a book. What's the name of that book? Surely Goodness and Mercy. She wrote a book about her son, and they're wrestling with this whole idea about coming to this church and receiving the Word of God. And we're just going to have to do something else or find out. Well, one day on the farm, they were putting grain in the, what do you call those things? Huh? Yeah, grain bin. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God inside of Larry said, go check on, was it Luke or was it Adam? It was Adam. And I know this story, trust me. Anyway, I keep asking enough questions, I'll get there. And so he ran, and intuitively he crawled up into, it was a gravity wagon that was dumping this corn, and the boy had climbed up in there, and he got sucked down into the corn and was actually about to suffocate, and he grabbed his hand and pulled him up out of there. Well, the next scene was one of the other kids called for Norman and said, Mommy, you got to come out here, daddy, you know, and all this. And so they come out of the house, and Larry is on his hands and knees with this boy in his hand, crying and thanking God for what it is that just happened and took place in their life. And that made their decision about whether or not they wanted to keep coming to this church, because all of that was part of what they had received as a result of hearing the Word of God and listening to the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Are you listening to me? You know, when Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth. He'll bring things to your remembrance. Hallelujah. He will show you or tell you the things that I have spoken unto you. So he is our guide. Amen. And we can rely on him. Can you say amen? If we'd listen to the Holy Ghost, we wouldn't have near as many problems as we do. How many of you can attest to that, where maybe you didn't quite listen to him? We've all done that. You know, we're still going to school here, so let's not get condemned about it. But let's improve. Let's get better about listening to the Spirit of God that's on the inside of us. Because he dwells in the believer. And God put him there for a reason. And you know, the thing about the Holy Ghost, and this is all different than what I have in mind, but you know, the thing about the Holy Ghost is he's a perfect gentleman. He'll never force you. He won't coerce you. He won't do any of those things. But he will guide you and he will instruct you. This is the way. Walk ye in it. Amen. So let's say it together. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. He is my teacher. He's my guide. He leads me into all the truth. Praise God. Isn't that good? Amen. Praise God. Well, listen, Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to take off on what faith is again here this evening, talk about this a little bit, and let's pray together, and we'll get into what I want to share with you tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much. Oh, we're so ever grateful, Father, for your blessing in our lives. We thank you for what it is that you've done through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You said, Father, that he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And thank you, Father, for instructing us, to teach us, to lead us in the way that we should go, so that we can experience the predictable results that come from being obedient children of yours. I thank you, Lord, because you've empowered us by your indwelling presence to be able to do these things. But not only that, Father God, you've given us Jesus's name. And Father God, we know that every knee must bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. And so we thank you for this authority that's been granted unto us, this authorization that you've given to the church to live, to exist, to exercise dominion in this earth as you ordained before the foundations of the world, to carry out your divine purposes, Father, your plans. And we thank you for the culmination of all things, that which you are doing, Father, hallelujah, and the revelation of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his second advent. So, Father, for these few moments that we have together, I just want to thank you, Father, for ministering to each and every one of us, giving us eyes to see, hearts to believe, ears to hear. And at the same time, Father, help us to make an application of these truths where our personal lives are concerned in a way as only you can. And so I just thank you, Father, for your blessing in the house tonight, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Notice with me in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, the writer of Hebrews said, now faith is the substance or the materiality or the guarantee, some translations say, of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hallelujah. Again, faith gives substance to that which we hope for. It serves as the evidence of what we do not see. And then in verse 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible. Everybody say impossible. Yeah, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must first of all believe that he is, or that he exists, and that he is a rewarder. Everybody say rewarder. Yeah, he's a rewarder. How many of you are glad that God is a rewarder? Glory to God. Aren't you glad for that? I mean, all the judgment fell on his Son at the cross when he died for the sins of the world, and he ransomed us and gave us his life. Hallelujah. So that we can have access. Glory to God. He's become our Father. Amen. Through the new birth and being born again. And so we can be grateful for that. Hallelujah. And so we've been talking about the subject of faith for a number of weeks. I think on my thing, I'm about 14 or 15 on this, you know, and sessions that we've talked about it. And, you know, our whole relationship with God, you guys, everything about our relationship with God revolves around faith. Why? Because he is unseen. Amen. You know, he's invisible to the naked eye or the natural eye, we could say. And the truth is you can't have a relationship with God without faith. It's an impossibility. And so knowing what faith is, where it comes from, how it operates, it's huge. It's an absolute necessity for each and every one of us where our personal lives are concerned. Jesus said, have faith in God. Amen. So that means you and I can have faith. You'll hear a lot of times people say, well, I don't have faith for that, or I don't have that kind of faith. Well, maybe you don't, but thank God you can. Amen. You know, the Bible makes reference to different levels of faith. It talks about weak faith, talks about strong faith. It talks about no faith. It talks about great faith. I've never seen such great faith in Israel. No, not in Israel. So faith can grow. You know, when Paul was writing there to the church at Thessaloniki, or actually it's Thessalonica, it's Thessaloniki now, it was Thessalonica back then. He said, you know, I'm just so blessed to see that your faith groweth exceedingly. Hallelujah. So faith can grow. That's why we're here tonight. That's why we've been talking about it for a number of weeks. Because praise God, God wants your faith to grow in him. He wants you to be able to have a vibrant relationship with him. And of course, that's the result of you and I coming to know him in relationship with him through the word of God, trusting him, walking in the light of that word, and seeing a manifestation of those things which he's promised. So last week we left off with discussing the need to understand the nature of faith and how it operates. And I mentioned to you at that time, I said, you know, first of all, you know, faith deals with the unseen, that which is invisible. You know, he that comes to God must again believe that he is, that he exists, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Secondly, we talked about the fact that it's based upon the known will of God. You can't have faith if you don't know what the will of God is. You know, and again, a lot of times in some denominational preferences and, you know, religious circles, they'll kind of explain away the possibility of you being able to know the will of God. Well, thank God we got 66 books right here. And it's like a love letter written to each and every one of us. And thank God we can know the will of God, because this is the last will and testament of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I say it all the time, and you know this, get in the book, let the book get in you. And when you do, it'll change you. It'll transform you from the inside out. Hallelujah. But you can't really take a casual approach to it, man. You got to go for it. You got to be all in. Amen. And a lot of folk, that's what they do. They just want to, you know, they kind of, it's like going through a cafeteria, you know, they just kind of pick and choose, you know, and maybe when they get to their table, they decided they made a wrong decision, so they just kind of play with it, you know, their peas or whatever. Well, hallelujah. I mean, you got to get hungry, baby, and you got to want it. And when you do, you know, the Bible says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they'll get filled. Amen. If you're going to be just kind of casual about it and, well, whatever, it's probably not going to do you a lot of good. It might pacify and whatever your conscience. But Jesus, he wants you to walk with him. He said, follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men. I'll change your life. He talked to these disciples about those possibilities and they said yes. But you know, they dropped everything and left. Amen. Remember when Elisha followed Elijah? The Bible says he was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. You know what that means? That means he had 24. That's 12 pair that were out there, man, plowing that field. I mean, he had to be of some a person of substance. And Elijah walked by him, threw his mantle on him, and he ran after him. You know, he said, wait a minute, let me take care of this and, you know, get a few things cleaned up here and I'll go with you. He goes, you can do whatever you want, I'm out. You know, and so he went and offered the sacrifices of those things. And I think that there's something to be said about that, in that when he offered them up to the Lord, it was like he was burning that bridge. You know what I mean? In other words, I ain't going back here. I'm following him. And so many times, you know, in people's lives, they don't make that choice. It isn't that they can't. They just don't. You know, they're too concerned about social matters and what people will think. You know, I remember when we first got saved, turned on to the Word of God, you know, people left our lives and there was a mass exodus because we chose to become followers of Jesus. And they called us fanatics and they called us all kinds of things, you know, but that doesn't really matter. You know, I mean, I'm so glad that we made the right kind of decision. Amen. Because if we hadn't, you know, we wouldn't have had the privilege of ministering to people for over four decades. Not only that, to have this facility that's out here in the middle of nowhere, preaching the gospel, you know, and watching people get saved. I mean, there's no telling how many thousands of people have been influenced by this church. And not just here locally, but I mean around the world. And so it's awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. And when we get to heaven, I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know if God's got a video or what. But I'm telling you what, man, we're going to get some popcorn and Pepsi and we're going to watch what happened. What it is that God did as a result of our faithfulness to him and doing what it is that he wanted us to do. So, faith based upon the known will of God. So find out what the Bible has to say, not somebody's opinion. Because there are a lot of opinions out there. How many of you have noticed that? Well, you know, I just believe. Well, I don't care what you just believe. What does the Bible say? Because that's what's important. Know the will of God. Thirdly, you have to receive what it is that God has provided. Believe that you receive what it is that God has provided in order to see it manifested or realized in your life. And I'll unpack that a little bit more as we go down the road in a practical application where our lives are concerned. But it's such an important point because so much of the time people are waiting on God and he's waiting on us. Did you hear me? So we need to learn to believe that we receive. Maybe take the believe part off for right now. But we need to learn to receive what it is that's been provided to us and through the avenue of faith. You can't get it any other way. Salvation was available when I was born into this world as a baby, as an infant. I knew nothing about it. I grew up until I was through my adolescent years, still didn't know anything about it. And it really wasn't until I was 19 years old that someone come and pitched the gospel, shared the message of Jesus Christ with me, and I believed and chose to receive what it is that God had for me as a plan for my life. And I surrendered my heart to him. I said, not my will, but your will be done. And those are the conditions that have to be met for every believer. And I tell you what, when you meet the conditions, then praise God, God shows up. Huh? Yeah, he sure does. So again, we need to learn to receive what's been provided for us through the avenue of faith. You know, we've used a scripture, and you can refer to it if you like, in Mark 11, chapter 11, verse 23. Jesus said, verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain. Now understand, this is a teachable moment that he's having with his disciples. He had just cursed the fig tree the day before. So on the next day, when they were going back from Bethany into Jerusalem, you know, for a day of ministry there, Peter, calling to remembrance, said to Jesus, he said, Master, the tree that you cursed is withered away. And that's when Jesus then responded and said, yep, that's right, just like I said, you know. No, that's not what he said at all. His response was, have faith in God, because whoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that the things that he says will come to pass, he'll have whatever he says. Now, let me just, a little sidebar to that thought. The fact of the matter is that everyone is actually having exactly what they say, positive or negative. You'll listen to some people, you know, and they got a negative report and all that, so that's all they're ever talking about. They're talking about what isn't going right and this and that and the other, and that's what they end up with. And I'm not talking about mind over matter. I'm not talking about these things. I'm talking about out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. And when it speaks, it creates. It creates good or it creates evil. It creates positive or it creates negative. You know, and you say, yeah, but you know, how do I stop being so negative? Well, again, not to wear it out, but you got to get in the book and let the book get in you. Huh? Because we're talking about an internal kind of thing within the heart of a man. And not only that, but you got to renew your mind to the word. You got to start changing the way you think. So you start to think in line with the Bible or think in the ways that Jesus, you know, thinks. And that takes some work. Amen. You've all been conditioned. you know, by different things where your lives are concerned, experiences in your lives, tragedies in your lives, maybe some, you know, celebratory things that have taken place. All of these things influence and affect our lives. They condition us. Well, what I'm suggesting to you is I want you to be conditioned by faith in what it is that God has said. And that takes a little bit of effort. Amen. And not only that, but it's really, really good to hang out with the right kind of people. You know, because a lot of folk, you know, unfortunately, they don't necessarily believe the things that I'm talking to you about. Well, they're probably not going to help you in your journey, okay? It doesn't mean you don't love them. Doesn't mean that you don't support them and want the best for them. But I mean, at day's end, you got to find people, praise God, that believe God. Amen. And not everybody has faith. That's what the Bible says. So it's important for us to make sure we choose the right kinds of relationships. But anyway, Jesus said that if you whoever will say to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he'll have whatever he says, good or bad. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you what?
Receive.
Believe that you what?
Receive.
That you receive them and you'll have them. So the point being is that I have to presently, present tense, right now, believe that I receive and I will in the future have them. Jesus, I mean, God, you know, when he was dealing with Israel throughout all the Old Testament, he said, and it shall come to pass if, and then he went on to explain what needed to be done, and essentially it was just obey my word, keep my commandments, and this and that, and all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. But how many of you know we have to do it first before they come? You know, the Bible says, don't cast away your confidence, that's great recompense or reward. But you simply have need of endurance in that after you have done the will of God, then you will receive the promise. We kind of get that, we turn that around, we go, hey, God, you know, any way you can make that promise come to pass and then I'll do your will? No, you know, receiving the promise is predicated upon us practicing and doing what it is that he says. So everybody say, I can do that. Yeah, if you're a believer, praise God, you can make that happen. So again, in that scripture, Mark 11:24, he said you have to believe that you receive at the time when you pray, even though you don't maybe personally have it at that moment. But he said, it shall come to pass. Hallelujah. That's what faith is. Amen. So how do you receive something from God anyway? You know, that's another interesting thought. I mean, it's not something that you can get from him tangibly or physically. So when we say believe that you receive, what does that mean? Well, it means that we receive it as a matter of faith in or from our hearts. I say, you know, it would look something like this. You say, you know, Lord, I just got done reading in your word that you said that you have a plan for my life. You said, for example, seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness and all these things will be added unto you. Lord, I believe what it is that you just said. And so, praise God, I'm going to seek the kingdom first. I'm going to put it first. In other words, I'm going to say, Lord, you know, before I make my own decisions about where my life is going, what is it that you would have me to do? Amen. And I'm going to follow you and I'm going to obey you. And praise God, you said that all these other things will be added unto me. You know, that's a great, great, great message and a great lesson on priorities, because ill-ordered priorities in people's lives, it upsets the apple cart so many times. Amen? Sometimes, you know, you've got to come back to the main thing. Keep the main thing the main thing. And we don't. We get so busy with life and responsibilities and different things, you know, that are just clamoring for our attention, you know. And so it becomes important for us to just back up the train, you know, pump the brakes a little bit and say, now, wait a minute, what am I doing here? Is this all right with you? You doing all right here so far? You know, and so we receive from God as a matter of faith that is in or from our heart. And after all, you know, faith is a heart issue. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So we fill our heart with the word of God, and glory to God, it changes everything. So, you know, here's an example. You know, let's just say that, you know, you're a new Christian or whatever the case might be, or maybe you're not even a Christian, but you discover through someone preaching the gospel to you or sharing the message of Christ's love or something of that nature, they share it with you, and you discover through that that God has a plan for your life. You know, when I was a teenager, like I said, that was a common approach to helping people find their lives in Christ Jesus. And they would just say, did you know that God has a plan for your life? Well, you know, up until that time, I didn't know anything about God having a plan for my life. I grew up in a mainline denominational church. I had all the pins for my attendance to prove that I'd been there, but I didn't know nothing about no plan from God where my life is concerned. Listen to me, you guys, you're not here by happenstance. I mean, you weren't some accident. If anybody was an accident, I probably was. I have four siblings, and they're at least 10 years older than me, all the way up to 17 years older than me. So I wasn't necessarily planned on, but I showed up anyway. Because, you know, certain things create certain things. You know what I mean? And so, voila. But I was not a mistake. Even though maybe I was not planned, I was planned. Because he said, I knew you before you were in the womb. And he has known you before you showed up too. And so the point is that God has a plan for each and every one of us. He's got a plan for you. He's got a plan for me. And guess what? It's a good plan. It's not a bad one. Amen? It's a great one, as a matter of fact. Hallelujah. So it becomes important for us to back to my illustration, that if you discover through the Word that God has a plan for your life, you know, when you do that, consequently, you know, you accept that plan and you begin walking it out and obeying his counsel. I remember when my wife, Joan, we were dating at the time, and some individuals pitched the gospel to her. They used a four spiritual law booklet, and, you know, she was going through it, and day four she got saved. Hallelujah. She wishes that they would have just told her the whole thing on the first day, then she could have got saved that day. Amen. You know, I had to go through all the laws. And basically the laws were that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. And if you want to sit on the throne of your life, you can. But God would like for you to surrender that and let him sit there. And then he can change your life forever. So she chose that. Okay? In other words, she received the offer. She said, Jesus, I want you in my life. I want you to be Lord of my life. I want you to take control of this mess and make me everything that you intended for me to be. I know you have a plan for my life. Well, so when that happened from her heart, he showed up and came in. And then it became her responsibility, did you hear that? To begin walking this thing out. One of the things that she had to do is she had to break off her relationship with me. Because I was an unbeliever, I was unsaved, and the Bible says, you know, don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Now, let me ask you a question. Was that easy? No. There's a lot of decisions that we have to make in life when it comes to obeying and following the plan of God that aren't always easy. But she had such peace in her heart because of the reality of his presence in her life that created the peace. She wasn't willing to give it up for anything or anyone. And so the same thing's true where our lives are concerned. There are times when you got to say, I'm sorry, man, but I'm out. Because I'm not going to participate in the unfruitful works of darkness. I'm not going to be a part of this. Now, again, it may not be easy. It may not be socially acceptable. And that's a big thing. I watched people get saved, turn on the Word of God when we first got saved during the charismatic movement. And I mean, they were coming in like a flood. But then, you know, the whole be a follower of him came into play. And all of a sudden, they started dropping off dropping off like flies. I mean, all of a sudden, you couldn't find them anymore. Why? Primarily, they were too concerned about what other people would think. Did you hear me? Social acceptance. And, you know, thank God for a bunch of us. We said, hey, man, though none go with me, still I'm going to follow. And the cool thing about that is, you guys, as you can well attest to, you know, in your experience as well, is that The devil in the world will tell you, you know, if you walk with Jesus, no, you won't have any friends. You won't have anybody to, you know, pal around with or whatever the case might be. But nothing could be further from the truth. Because God took the friends I once had and replaced them with friends that love me unconditionally like no other. How many of you can attest to that? So while a lot of times we feel like it's too big a price, the reality is that it's a no-brainer. Hallelujah. Do whatever it is he says and let him figure it out. And though it may be painful, you know, in the beginning, praise God, he'll give you beauty for ashes if you'll obey him. Y'all believe that? So we have to accept the plan that he gives to us and walk it out and obey his counsel. In other words, here's a real simple thing. You know, when you get saved, you know, what God says to you in the scriptures is he says, don't allow strife in your life. Okay? In other words, you know, the Bible says a servant of the Lord must not strive. But really, it's God saying to you, don't ever allow strife in your life. So who does that? Well, you know, if I could just get rid of the problem, I wouldn't have all this strife. Well, there may be some truth to that, but how you position your own heart in that relationship becomes imperative, where you just won't allow it. I'm not playing the game. You understand where I'm coming from? So a lot of times the counsel that God will give you is don't allow it. Don't allow strife in your life. Here's another one he'd say to you. You know, as my child, now this will get you going. As my child, let's just say, you know, he's just talking to us, okay? And he says, you know, as my child, you don't have anything to worry about. I'll let that sink in a little bit. Now, the Bible doesn't say that. It says be careful for nothing or never be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, cast all your care onto him because he cares for you. You know, there's these different designations, but the essence of what he's saying is because you're my child, you don't ever have to worry about another thing. That's pretty cool. Huh? Here's another one. God says, you know, you read in the Word of God and you find out, you know, he just says, you know what? You don't have to be poor anymore. I don't? No. Well, you know, that's the way it's always been. Well, that may be the way it was, but that doesn't have to be the way it is. Are you with me? Now, again, it's predicated on what it is that he said in the Word, but the essence of it is that he's telling you, Rachel, or anybody else that wants to listen, you don't have to be poor anymore. You say, well, how does that work? Well, I can tell you this much about it. If you'll listen to him, follow his wisdom and his plan, he'll show you. Now, you'll have to make some changes, okay? Because if you always do what you've always done, you're always going to have what you've always gotten. But if you make changes, then things can change for you. Are you with me? But you're the one that does it. See, and again, that's that thing where you're saying, well, God, you know, man, don't you have some like magic wand thing, you know, that you pull out every once in a while and go, and everything changes? Well, sometimes he does that as a matter of necessity or need, but that's the exception, not the rule. Are you with me? I knew that you'd be really excited about that concept, but it really is true. Amen? So he says, you know, and he would even take that a little further. You don't have to be poor anymore. I redeemed you from poverty, sickness, death, the curse. I redeemed you. But here's the thing about that. So once you discover that, how many of you discovered that? So now we have to set out to change our circumstances, and God helps us to bring that to pass. It may be through education. It may be, I don't know, you know, whatever it looks like. It you understand where I'm coming from. Amen. And so it's important that we, here's another example. And this is important. You know, my wife and I, we have a property, a rental property, and we own it. And so, unfortunately, we have to take care of it. Hallelujah. That's part of the deal. But, you know, if for some reason, you know, I or we or whatever, we had to go up there and, you know, tend to something of that nature or whatever, if one of the tenants, they came out of the, you know, building and said, what are you doing here? This is where I live. You can't be here. Well, first of all, I laugh at them. But my point to this is simply that You know, I would probably respond and say, you might live here, but I own it. I got the deed. You know, and who are you to try to run me off of from something that belongs to me? Now, why am I bringing this up to you? There's stuff that belongs to you, child of God, and the devil will try to keep you from receiving what it is that's yours. And you got to say, you got to stand up. And you got to say, listen, let's understand something right here. You're a defeated foe. Jesus spoiled principalities, powers, and made a show of them openly. He triumphed over them in it, and he gave me his victory. We just got in singing it tonight, the victor's crown. Are you listening to me? And so the point that I want to say in this is that the devil does the same thing when it comes to that which is ours in Christ Jesus and what it is that belongs to us, and he'll lie to you. It's like the squatters. You know, we got this rash of stuff going on where people are just moving into people's houses and then they don't leave. And then we got lawlessness and disobedience and people that are in authority that aren't taking charge of what it is that needs to be done. Well, you know what? Some of the people that own these properties, they got smart enough to figure out, you know, they ain't going to help me, but I'll tell you this much about it. They're not staying there. And then so they had to go through all the, you know, jump through all the hoops, figure out what the laws were. And that one guy, I mean, I don't remember, he waited till they left. And then he went in and threw all their stuff out in the street and said, you squatted once, now I'm squatting. Because after all, I own it. So hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more, no more, no more. Are you listening to me? But that is so the devil in characteristic and quality to do just that. And it happens so many times in the lives of believers because we're not, you know, standing for what it is, what belongs to us and what's ours in Christ. Are you listening to me? So if it's anxiety, worry, and care, thank God we don't have to live with that no more, but we do have to stand against it. Come on now. You know, yeah, you'll be tempted and all of that, but you just have to stand against it. Why? Because you say, I resist this temptation to allow worry, care, and anxiety. Because if you let it control you, then you'll start responding and doing things that are inconsistent with the Word of God. And then you end up in a place in the weeds that you never, ever intended. Does that make sense to you? So we got to nip it in the bud right in the front end. And the best way to do that is to know who you are, what you have, and what he's done. And then you can say, no, you don't, in Jesus' name. Does that make sense to you? Hallelujah. So, you know, we have to become filled with the knowledge of his will and then begin to exercise our authority. Listen, don't be weak. I'm not talking about in your own strength, but I'm telling you to be strong in the Lord. Don't be weak. You can't be weak. You know, religion makes weak Christians. Are you with me? You know? Well, you know, you just can't. Listen, forget that. If hell is showing up on your doorstep, baby, you better get out the big gun. Are you with me? And it's important. Y'all, you doing all right here? Okay. You know, but you have to exercise your authority, not be weak, and walk in the light of what it is that God has provided for you. We'll take a couple, look at a couple examples if we can get to it. I got 8 minutes and 8 pages left. That's not a good, balance. Well, so we talked about this and I'll say it again. You know, we've been given everything that we need. You have it. Amen. It may not appear that way. It may not look like it, but you've got everything that you need. And the reason being, it's through the completed work of Jesus Christ. He provided it all for you. You know, there was a guy at the pool of Bethesda, and Jesus walked up to him and he said, will you be whole? Will you be whole? Do you want to be whole? Well, obviously, if he'd been in that condition for the time that he had, he wanted to be healed or whole. But he said, but his response to it was, I have no man. You know, when the water starts moving, by the time I get there, somebody else has got in, I miss out on the boat. But see, that's not what Jesus said. He says, do you want to be healed? Huh? And that happens so often where our lives are concerned. He said, do you want your life to be changed? Well, yeah, but I've got this going on, or this person's not cooperating, or, you know, whatever. And so what happens is that we're fixating on the wrong thing. When he said, do you want to be healed, or do you want to be made well, or do you want to be whole? He should have said, yes, I do. I'm not looking at whatever it is that's been going on in my life for all of these years. Yes, I do. But what was he doing? He was saying, here's my problem. This is why, or whatever the case. In other words, there was no, and of course, let's give the guy some slack here. I mean, he didn't know about the will of God, the knowledge of God, or any of those kinds of things. He was just stating his circumstance. But you and I, we've come to know. So we're going to take our eyes off the problem. We're going to put them on the solution. And we're going to start declaring and saying what it is that he said, and then we're going to see the change come to pass. Now, we don't have or can't exercise, you know, authority over human will. You know, a lot of times we want to change things in other people's lives because they're messing things up where we're concerned. But they're free moral agents. They get to choose and decide what it is that they want to do. Are you with me? You know, when you got kids, they're under your authority. When they get out of the house, they got their own thing to deal with. Are you listening to me? You say, yeah, but my child's 40 years old, still in my house. Well, that's a problem, okay? And we don't have time to unpack that tonight. But I'm just saying, you know, as people want to exercise their authority over human will, and you can't do that. It's witchcraft, really, is what that is. Are you with me? And again, I don't have time to explain all of that to you, but you get it. And the reason that I say that is that a lot of times in our lives we have circumstances, and there are other people that are what I would call players in all of it, and they're influencing the circumstance, and so we're going to exercise our authority over them. You can't do that, all right? But you can do something about what, you know, where you're concerned. And I remember one time, I can't remember if it was, I think it was Brother Hagin, I don't remember if it was him or Lester, the late Lester Summerall. They were ministering in a line, and they had a ministry line. They were going down a line. All of a sudden, this person was possessed with a devil and started acting up and causing all kinds of problems. And somebody, or the minister said, come out of them in the name of Jesus. And the devil spoke up and said, you can't cast me out. They want me here. And the minister said, you're right. And he went right by him and kept on going. See, as long as you want something, that's what you're going to have. You know, it's just like the guy that Jesus was ministering to. He said, do you want to be whole? What do you want? You know, and a lot of folk, they don't think about things like this, but it is true. You hold the reins to what's going to happen within your life. You say, listen, that's the end of this strife. That's the end of this consternation. That's the end of this, all this, you know, confusion and evil work and all of the things that are associated with strife. I'm not having this anymore where my life is concerned. That's smart. And, you know, you say, can you do that? Yeah, you can. It's your choice because he's given you that right. Does that make sense to you? So we have everything that we need, and it's almost time to quit. Through the work that Jesus did. Let's look at a few verses of scripture here, and I'll make a point that I think will be helpful. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. Well, if you don't care to, I can just quote it, and you can look on it probably at the screen. Notice this with me. I want you to realize what's already been accomplished. Okay? We don't think in those terms because we see what's going on presently in our lives. When it contradicts the word or it's of a negative nature or something like that, we don't think about it in this context. But notice this verse here, 1 Peter 1:3. His divine power, whose power? God's. His divine power has given unto us all things, or everything, that pertains to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Now, I want you to notice particularly the fourth word in the Elizabethan English. It says, his divine power what? Has. Past tense. Again, based upon the completed, finished work of Christ. Are you with me? So when you come up against things in your life, you just say, I'm telling you, praise God, my Heavenly Father has given me everything that pertains to life and godliness. This does not represent life. It does not represent godliness. Therefore, it's not going to be a part of my life. You understand? He has given to you everything that pertains to life and godliness. Now look at Ephesians chapter. Now this is something Peter said. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father. I got to go faster because if I wait for you, then you're taking up my time. So notice what it says here in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, or hath, the King James says hath, blessed us. Not going to. He has. Everybody say, I'm blessed. You know, when we sing that song, I am blessed every day of my life, I'm blessed. From morning I wake up, rest, I'm blessed. You're blessed. You say, well, I don't feel very blessed. Maybe your attitude is a starting point. You know what I'm saying? You are blessed, whether you realize it or not. Yeah, but I got all these problems going. Well, welcome to the party. You know, we all have issues, got stuff going on, you know, whatever the case might be. But at the end of the day, what did he say? Blessed be the God who has blessed us with all or every spiritual blessing there is in the heavenly places in Christ. And then it goes on to explain that even as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless and so on and so forth. You know, everybody say it together. I am blessed. You're not going to be blessed. You are blessed. You say, I don't feel very blessed. Well, again, thank God it's not based on the way you feel. Well, my circumstance doesn't tell me I'm blessed. Well, that might be true, but thank God it can change. Amen. So we just got to get over here in this lane over here of faith and say, you know, I believe what the Bible says. I believe what God promised. I believe what it is that he said. Amen. That's where it starts. And you know, when my wife and I first got started, you know, we dated for another couple years after we got saved, and then we got married, and we, you know, launched out in life together, and not knowing where we was going. Well, we did know a little bit. We knew I was called into the ministry, and she was going to be my companion. And I tell you what, I thank God for her. Amen. Because most folk, would, you know, a lot of times they don't make it, you know. But she helped me. And thank God, I'm grateful for that. Amen. They told us statistically you could take 10 people that were called into the ministry and set them up on the stage. By the time they were 65, there'd only be one left. I'm one. And my son's going to be one. And my other son's going to be one. And my daughter and her husband are going to be one. We're staying in this thing. Amen? Are you listening? And so are you while we're talking about it. Praise God. I think about Terry and Wanda. How many years you guys been coming? This church?
Since
91. That would be doing, 33 years? Yeah. He retired as a lieutenant colonel from the Army, and they started attending this church, and 31 years later, there they are on a Wednesday night. I tell you what, that's finishing strong. Are you listening to me? And we're all going to do that. Can you say amen? Man, I wish I had more time. Let's look at one more verse. All right, look at this with me here. 1 Peter chapter 1, not 2 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. How many of you glad you came tonight?
Yes.
Notice what it says here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, listen, has begotten us again unto a lively hope or a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, and that fades not away. Hallelujah. Reserved in heaven for you. Now notice these next three words. Who are kept. Not gonna be. I'm telling you what, you're kept, whether you realize it or not. He's keeping you. Why? Because you're his. Amen. You're kept by the power of God through faith into salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last times. Glory to God forevermore. Aren't you glad for that?
Yes.
I said, aren't you glad for that?
Yes.
We have an inheritance coming our way that's incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, that's reserved in heaven for us. Something's coming, baby. I tell you, when God throws a party, it's a big deal.
Yes.
Amen. So much to look forward to. But again, I wanted you to note in this scripture as well, you have been begotten again. In other words, God gave new life or rebirth to you. You have it. When I ask the question, how many of you are saved? You'll say, you know, you raise your hand, you say you are. Why? Because you have been. You're not gonna be, thank God, amen. You talk to some people, you say you're going to heaven, they go, well, I hope so. That ain't enough, you know? But they don't know that faith can bring that hope into a reality, all right? And so thank God for the word, amen. Well, okay, it's only 8:04. I haven't violated things too much. Could I just share one more scripture with you? All right, look at Colossians chapter 1 with me, if you would, and we'll quit, I promise. Hallelujah. Even though I don't want to. Colossians chapter 1. See, the believer needs to realize that these truths are a present tense reality. They belong to you. This is who you are. This is what he's done. This is what you have. And you got to get into the Word of God to discover these things, you know, but... Where we run into problems is when we judge these things that are revealed in the Word, you know, when we judge them or these matters in the light of our negative, contradictory circumstance. And you say, yeah, I know, you know, that the Bible says this, but I'm telling you, this is what's going on with me. Well, again, always remember that whatever it is that's going on with you is temporal. And that just means it's subject to change. Amen. You know, I can be out, you know, working on a wall, putting up this thing, you know, and by the end of the day, man, I can have dust everywhere, you know, and I mean, just dirty as can be and whatever the case might be. But thank God, you know, I don't have to stay that way. I can tell you what, I can tell you this much. I'm not getting in bed with her, you know, if I do that. So I go take a shower. And that changes the circumstance. Are you with me? Same thing's true with your life. Maybe you just need to give your life a bath. Amen. Say no more of this. We're not having it. No, All right, did you find Colossians? I got to talking and got distracted. Imagine that. Notice what this says here. Colossians chapter 1. And I'm going to start with verse 12 because it's all good anyway. Giving thanks. Everybody say giving thanks. Yeah, giving thanks to the Father which has made us... meet, that's a King James. You could say it this way. Maybe your translation says, has qualified us. Okay? So giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Hallelujah. Now notice verse 13. Who, what's the next word? Hath or has delivered us. Not going to. Thank God he's delivered us. People say, well, yeah, but I can't get, you know, loose of this addiction or this, you know, substance abuse or this alcohol or whatever the case might be. Well, that isn't, that isn't because he hasn't delivered you. That's because your flesh is dominating you. But then you have to learn sin shall not have dominion over you. Hallelujah. You're the possessor of that vessel that you live in. Amen. And again, that can be a challenge, but thank God you can get free. So anyway, he says, he's delivered us from the power or the authority of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So all of this has been accomplished for us, and we've been delivered from the power or the authority of darkness. People say, well, the devil's giving me such a hard time. You know, I got this going on, I got that, you know, and I just know it's the devil. Well, Jesus put him under your feet. You just need to discover that. And you got to stop, you know, giving authority or power to him and say, no more, devil. Are you listening to me? So you put a stop to it. You say, no, we're not having this. Amen. I remember when we first got saved and we were getting, you know, working through all of this, man, there was a devil under every bush. It's the devil. It's the devil. It's the devil. Well, most of it was just nothing but our flesh, you know, dominating. And so we finally had to learn, listen, you've been delivered, man. Praise God. He has no authority over you. He has no say-so in your life. The jurisdiction of hell has been broken where your life is concerned. So thank God we got the victory. Amen. Now, there are a lot of folk out there in the world, man, and they're bound by the devil. And I'm telling you what, he is just destroying their lives, you know, here, there, and everywhere. But thank God, not us. I said, not us. Amen. So anyway, I could go on for probably hours, but I'm sure that might not go over real big. Anyway, hopefully these things are helpful to you when it comes to the practical application of your life. There are things that are yours. There are things that belong to you. There are things that he has done. There's a position that he's placed you in. So you no longer have to be under the thumb or the authority of, like I said, anxiety, worry, and care. You say, yeah, but you don't know what it is I'm dealing with. You don't know what it is I'm having to, and I probably don't, but he does. And he's asking you to do something. He's just wanting you to put your life in his hands and say, trust me. He just needs you to verbalize that before him and say, God, I trust you. I'm going to trust you. I don't know what to do. You know, it's like Jehoshaphat, when they came up against those, there was an alliance of about four or five kings, and they decided they were going to come after him. I'm closing. I closed my Bible. But you know, there was this alliance of kings, four or five of them that came against him. And as soon as he found out that they were going to do that, he called a fast. And everybody hit their knees, and they began to pray. And he, you know, we have the prayer. It's beautiful there in 2 Chronicles, about the 20th chapter. And he basically says, we have no power or might against this great host that's come against us. And we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. That's a good place to have your eyes, isn't it? Yes. See, when we have our eyes on whatever it is, it's, you know, placing a threat against us, man, you gotta put your neck on care and worry, and you just gotta say, no more of this. I'm not losing sleep. I'm not gonna worry about, I'm not gonna deal with this. My Heavenly Father orders my steps, and he's gonna make a way, even though it looks like there is no way. Hallelujah. Why? Because he is the way. Amen? And that's faith. That's faith. You say, yeah, but my feelings. Again, it's not about your feelings. It's about what you believe on the inside of you. You say, well, I'm not quite there yet. Well, again, get in the book. Let the book get in you, man, so that it comes out. Are you with me? That it answers the threats. That it answers, you know, the negative things or the circumstances or whatever the case might be. And it'll change you. Amen? You believe that? Why don't you stand up? Or I'll keep preaching. Wow. It's amazing how fast an hour can go. Hallelujah. Praise God. Would you pray with me for just a moment here? Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for the privilege, really the honor, Father, for us to gather in the name of Jesus, to you to be here in our midst and to hear, Father, what it is that you have said. We're so thankful for the redemption that you provided us. And God, we take what it is that belongs to us. We thank you, Father, tonight for peace. You've not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, a sound mind. Thank you, Father God, that we rest in you. Just like you said in the book of Hebrews, he that believeth has entered into rest. Glory to God. And so, Father God, for all of these that are here tonight, whatever their care or their concern or their worry may be, Father God, I just thank you right now that it, as an act of their will, they can say, Father, I cast my care onto you because you care for me. Thank you, Lord, for ministering to them. But not only that, Father, ordering their steps divinely so that whatever it is that may seem or look or appear as a threat to their life, Father, will dissipate and disappear. And that your blessing, Father, will rest upon their lives for good. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful, Father, for what we know. Oh, Father, thank you for your blessing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, whatever it is that may be represented in the lives of these, your people, I just thank you, Father God, for making your will known to them. And that, Father, in that they begin to trust you in a powerful kind of way. And so I just thank you for your blessing, Father, in every person's life, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. God bless you.